The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by Duncan Bullivant, who's CEO of the Henderson Group and International Risk Management Advisory. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning.
Anthony Blinken making another last gasp effort to edge Israel and Hamas towards a ceasefire 2 weeks to go to the American election. It strikes me it's a vain, it's an exercise in desperation.
It's an exercise in preventing Israel from doing something which is going to have an impact on the Democrats' performance in the upcoming election. It's as simple as that. I think the whole world is waiting with bated breath for this long-awaited Israeli response to Iran's missile strike several weeks ago. And of course, the one thing that the Americans are terrified of is that Israel will go for oil infrastructure in Iran, which would have an effect of pushing up oil prices catastrophically from a political point of view for the Harris election prospects.
Now, if they do that, if they should go for oil infrastructure, which would obviously affect global oil prices because it is a global market, the Israelis, and we talked to the Israeli ambassador to Ireland about this, about how hardened their own refineries are against attack, because that would be a huge vulnerability. There are three major refineries supplying Israel. What if they were attacked and targeted?
Well, you've seen over the last couple of weeks the United States has provided, for the first time, military personnel and equipment directly into Israel to help bolster their air defense capabilities. Clearly, now that Israel has decided to open up a more significant front with Hezbollah, the prospect of, or the options open to Iran in terms of striking Israel are somewhat wider. The Israeli infrastructure is not easily moved. Israel is a small country. Iran is well aware of where those targets are. And of late, you've seen Hezbollah going for more significant, specific targets, using drone technology, which has evaded, in many cases, the Israeli Iron Dome and other systems. So I think that whilst the US is supporting Israel in terms of hardening its own infrastructure, there is a concern as to the extent to which Israel is going to strike Iran. And at this stage of the game, the US mission this side of Christmas is to prevent this thing from escalating even wider. But that is, you know, this is an Israeli led initiative now. Netanyahu has demonstrated time and time again that he will make his own decisions based on what he believes to be right for Israel, and that the United States kind of get drawn along anyway, because what else are they going to do other than support him after the event? So it is really complex at the moment, very, very complex indeed.
The vulnerability of Israel, I'm reminded of something that the IRA were saying at the time of they attempted to bomb a plane at Heathrow, something to the effect of, you know, we only have to be lucky once, you have to be lucky all the time to avert those kind of bombs. And in a sense, that is Israel's, problem and preoccupation. They really have to be lucky all the time, with maybe barrages of thousands of rockets. You know, if one gets through, can all the systems that America provides actually, if there are so many missiles, some of them will get through, because simply there isn't the capability to take 1,000 incoming missiles out of the sky.
You're absolutely right. And I think what we've seen in the last 72 hours is Hezbollah targeting the Iron Dome batteries. They're actually going for the Iron Dome infrastructure at the moment. And you know, we're well aware that Hezbollah has got significant resource, most of which is still intact, regardless of what we've seen with news coverage over since Israel's move into southern Lebanon. So this is a change in tactic. We also know that although the second wave of Iranian missiles on Israel were not as effective as Iran would like them to have been, they were not ineffective totally. They did actually cause considerable damage. And I think your analogy about needing to be lucky all of the time for Israel. You know, at some point it's going to run out. But don't forget that tactics are changing now, you know, on the ground. And you know, there's no doubt that although Hamas as an organization is far from beaten, you know, it is going to reorganize and restructure itself over the next few weeks and months, because clearly it can't sustain a long-term semi-conventional campaign against Israel. So it'll be interesting to see what they choose to target going forward and how they choose to engage with Israel going forward, now very much in support and coordinated alongside Hezbollah. And of course, Iran still has intact its lines of communication and its infrastructure to support both organizations in the field.
Now, the difficulty, I suppose, for Israel is that they've committed, it seems, I was reading this morning, 15,000 Israeli troops to Lebanon, and they are bombing Beirut, places that, you know, were not expected to be bombed, and killing innocent civilians again and again, and saying these, you know, it's part and parcel of the Hezbollah operation because they're part and parcel of the Lebanese community. So the worst is kind of happening to Lebanon at the moment. So the deterrent idea that we'll come in and we'll do this, that and the other to you, it's already happening. So there's no deterrence left.
No, I think the real issue now is what is the nature of Israel's campaign in Lebanon. You know, it is not a repeat of previous incursions, which were largely led by a desire to degrade Hezbollah from a military perspective. What would appear to be happening now in Lebanon is that Israel is going after not just the military capability of Hezbollah, but also their financing, their social structures, which are very established. Don't forget, Hezbollah is actually, you know, is part of the government in Lebanon. They're not sitting outside of society. They're very much integrated into elements of society, and they're going after their social centers. They're going after their charitable institutions, which the Israelis claim are used to siphon Iranian money into the pockets of fighters. They're going for Hezbollah root and branch. This isn't a slap in the face for Hezbollah. I think what Israel is prosecuting now is an attempt to actually remove Hezbollah as a competent and credible force for many years to come.
Now, the question of the appetite for war in the IDF and in the Israeli war cabinet, they're the armchair generals who sit around a cabinet table, but there are soldiers who have to go off and do their bidding. I was again looking yesterday at a story of an IDF soldier who returned from Gaza and took his own life. Such was the horror that he had beheld while he was there. And there seemingly is quite a cohort of IDF soldiers coming back who are so deeply traumatized, you know, driving their large diggers over bodies and, you know, I don't want to be too crude about it, but things being squelched underneath the tracks of their machinery, and they just cannot forget this. They cannot unsee it. And how long the appetite for this kind of thing will remain with the Israeli armed forces is a question.
You raise a very important issue, and although we are bombarded with propaganda from both the Palestinian perspective and their global support network, and also from the Israeli perspective, the realities are that Israel is a functioning liberal democracy that produces free thinking and moral human beings on a large scale. And these young people, men and women, are now engaged in an incredibly brutal and horrific campaign. The situation in Gaza is going to get worse before it gets better. What's happening now in Lebanon is going to be a very different campaign, but no less difficult to prosecute. And I think what we fail to realize, we seem to sort of got ourselves into a situation where it's a sort of, you know, the Israeli Defense Force are seen as these sort of tough, uncompromising, totally focused individuals are going to go off and do Netanyahu's bidding in defense of the state. Yeah, a lot of them are, but a lot of them actually have left their jobs, you know, in record stores or working in bars or working in a law firm to go and do their bid as reservists. And they're not really up for a long-term sort of an anti-Palestinian campaign. They're just normal people. And they've got to go back to work at the end of it. And it takes its toll. Every army knows this. And I think, you know, Israel has changed over the years. It's changed dramatically over the years. And the Israel that is portrayed by the sort of, you know, Hamas sympathizers of uncaring and unbending is not the reality. The core Israeli component within the IDF are people who have got very strong views that what happened on the 7th of October was an abomination, but also are people who realize that they have to live alongside their Palestinian neighbors in the future and are very concerned as to how much longer and how much further this campaign is going to go, because it is not sustainable forever. Israel's economy will not bear it. The population is too small. And at some point, and I think we're coming to that point now, there will be a new administration in the United States in January, and it'll be interesting to see how much tolerance that administration has, whoever it may be, for a continued abuse of U.S. support in the region, because that's effectively what is going on at the moment. The Americans do not want this anymore.
Duncan Bullivant, CEO of the Henderson Group and International Risk Management Advisory, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.